This is Jeff Chrisman, and I'm here this afternoon visiting with filmmaker Laron Chapman. Laron, thanks so much for visiting today.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Absolutely. I thought what we would do is start out and hear a little bit about your movie that premiered here recently at Dead Center, and we'll kind of go from there.
All right. Sounds good. So I am the writer, director, and producer of a feature film called You People. It's an idea that I wrote just shy of 3 years ago now, and it was really kind of a writing exercise for me to see if I could do it, honestly, to see if I could actually complete a story from beginning to end, because I had started many scripts and never, you know, always hit a wall at some point, but there was this idea I had in my head that really resonated with me, and I was really passionate about seeing it through. The general premise is, say, there's an African-American guy that's adopted by a white family, and he kind of goes his whole life not knowing much about his own cultural heritage, and so he's very alternative in that way. You know, he's very he's into rock music, he's into country, he's very articulate, and his best friend is the opposite of him. He's a white guy that's like very steeped in the kind of hip hop urban culture scene. They're kind of this odd pairing, a buddy pairing. It's set in college. There is a kind of an attractive activist-y type of girl on campus that the main character is really into. And he overhears a conversation and misunderstands her, assumes that she's only into stereotypical black men. So what he has to do is consult his white friend, who's the expert, to help him to tap into his inner blackness. So that's the general premise. But the whole idea was to kind of play with stereotypes and identity, because they're things that I personally had to deal with my whole life. So in college, there was my dorm mate, actually, kind of jokingly, and he's not the only person who's done this, but has told me that I'm the whitest black guy that he's ever met. You know, and I always listened to that and thought that was just such an interesting way to, you know, it's an interesting talking point, because I knew he was saying that as a compliment, but I don't think he understood like the subtext of what he was saying. You know, it's like he was equating like my ability to speak well or be articulate or my intellect or whatever as something that was only assigned to Caucasian. And so I thought it would be an interesting talking point to kind of dissect in a narrative where we have a character who doesn't fit the mold of what people would say a black man should be. And that, you know, and what does that look like? And are there other people like that? And I'm sure there are. And I found in many cases that there are. So so You People kind of is like, you know, kind of a call to action, or so to speak. You know, everyone's heard that before. I'm not like you people. Whatever that means, you know. And so, and it could be anything. It could be class versus, you know, poverty, you know. In this case, obviously, we're dealing with kind of racial identity. But there's a wide range of minority characters in the film, and I intentionally made all of them the inverse of the stereotype that they're associated with. So like Asian character, for example, is terrible at math. You know, just a way to kind of toy with it in a way where people can have an open dialogue about how these kind of negative stereotypes sometimes, you know, have, you know, ramifications for the people who are on the receiving end of it. So that was kind of the general idea and inspiration for the film. I graduated from OU with a film and media studies degree. And I didn't know immediately what I wanted to do going into college, but the first thought that comes to mind is I want to make movies, so that means I want to be a director. And with no directing experience whatsoever, you say that, and then you get to school and you're like, I don't know if I want to be a director. And so I talked myself out of it. By the time I had left college after my fourth year and graduating, I said, I won't be a director, I'll do something else. What I knew that I knew how to do well, though, was write. And so I wrote for the student paper for 3 years, and for the entertainment section. Always was kind of like the resident film reviewer, or you know, I'd write a think piece on something that was happening currently in the media in some way. But what I fell in love with was trying to find a way to marry like my skill with my passion. My passion was film, was cinema. I just love everything about it. So it's something that I've always used as kind of an outlet for all a whole host of different reasons. But it's always something that spoke to me. It's always something I've just been very fascinated with. And so I thought the marriage of my skill and my passion was screenwriting. I landed right there in the middle. And so I took 2 semesters of screenwriting and really fell in love with that. I kind of mastered every other form of writing at that point. It was the one thing I feel like I hadn't really quite done or knew much about. So, and it is a very formalized, standardized form of writing. But it was the kind of challenge that I really enjoyed. And I remember my film professor singled out a lot of the things that I wrote. And, you know, I hated being that kid in class where it's like, you know, like, why doesn't Laurent stand up in class and just read, you know, his passages? He normally liked what I wrote. And I obviously, that was validating for me as a student, you know, to get that, you know, from your professor who's teaching it. But I remember after several entries, several, you know, good responses, even from the students, because what we would do is we would put something out there and the students would do like a peer review and kind of critique it and tell you what you could do better. And they always just told me how great it was. So I kind of took that as like, is it something that I could do? And so I kind of carried that into my adult life post-college. I did a lot of production work starting right after graduation. The first film I worked on here locally was August Osage County.
Oh, wow.
With Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts, which is kind of a crazy film to work on for your first
one. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
So they kind of fed me to the wolves because you're not really trained to do the work that you do on a film on the base level. It's kind of like, it's an anything goes, jack of all trades, you know, get in where you fit in, you know. You're going to get 45 tasks at once, then you can't do them all at once, but they still expect you to. That was, I mean, it was stressful. It was definitely very daunting and eye-opening, and it's not glamorous like a lot of people think. But I still loved every minute of it because I felt like I was creating something. Like all that work that was getting put into it, the 12, 15, 16-hour days, on a movie set with everyone who's just really kind of unified in creating something, a quality piece of art, that was something that was really, you know, worthwhile for me. So I kind of took that experience and soaked it in. And I mean, I have multiple stories with some of the actors, like Julia Roberts from Meryl Streep. And I remember, if there was ever a hard day, even if it was an actor giving me a hard day, I always go home saying to myself, I was like, well, you know, there are worse things than saying that you had a bad day because Julia Roberts didn't get her coffee. You know what I mean? Like, not everybody can say that. You know
that's
what I mean? So I took those things away and said, you know, this is kind of a blessing in disguise.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But after that, I mean, immediately after that job, I noticed that in the film industry, everything's very relationship-based. I mean, it's great to have talent. In fact, everyone would prefer that you did so that, you know, you're not creating things that aren't, because there a lot of movies get made that aren't good. So, and a lot of times it's because those people knew somebody or they paid their dues with the right people. And so I've noticed every job that I've gotten in the film industry has always been from a previous job that I'd worked on. Always there was somebody who referred me from the last one. So I always made a point and always say this to people whenever I'm mentoring people who are starting, you know, like, don't be afraid to take those internships or those PA jobs or those whatever, because it literally is, you're getting your foot in the door, but you're also absorbing everything that's happening. All of the people that you come into contact with become your colleagues, become your friends, become your, you know, people that you can refer back to whenever you want to say, like, make your own feature film, like I did. So in the end, what wound up happening is, unbeknownst to me, I knew more than I realized, and through osmosis. I mean, because you do, you look at every department, and you're able to, you come into contact with all these different people, with all these different creative fields, and even if you're not personally the master of any one of them, you picked up on stuff and you know how to communicate with them about what they need and vice versa. So what winds up happening, like when I set out to make my first feature film, before I had any of the funding, I at least had all of my crew.
Oh, wow.
I had a sound guy. I knew a makeup artist. I knew actors. And so, obviously we still had to do a casting call and find all the people for the right roles, but I knew where to start. I had a starting point. I wasn't shooting into the void to try to find the things that I needed. And I wouldn't have had any of those resources if I hadn't have done all those base level jobs that I had done for 5 or 6 years. So, to say that this process was easy would not be honest, but it definitely was a lot easier because I had, in that sense, made those connections with people. And so it was really literally calling out my friends to do favors for me, to work for a very low rate so that all the money that was generated that we did through crowdfunding, could go to the product itself and not the labor necessarily. So it became a labor of love. And then we were able to create, we wound up clocking in about $40,000 that I raised in 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Literally just me doing a bake sale, a garage sale, a car wash, anything I could think of creatively to kind of get people engaged. I'm a very visual person. I've always been like, even whenever we would do like group projects in college and stuff like that, I always wanted to be in charge because I didn't trust anybody else with my grade, you know? So I knew that I was going to put in, I have a strong work ethic. So I always knew that it would be quality if I had to do the time because I'll stay up late and do it. But,
oh, wow.
So with this, what I'd learned from many different seminars, also attend film festivals pretty regularly, whenever August Osage County premiered at the Austin Film Festival, which I didn't know when I'm going into it that it was actually the Writers Festival. They show a whole host of movies and different things like that, but all of the seminars and all the guest speakers and everything is tailored towards the writing component of filmmaking, so that just kind of fit right in my wheelhouse. And so I kind of felt like I left there with all the tools I needed in one week long period of being there. And so I was motivated to go home and write new people. And about 3 months after leaving that festival, I got that itch and that fire. And by 3 months, I had the first 200-page draft of the script.
Oh, wow.
Which in movie time is 4 hours. So I would say it's like the Gone with the Wind version of you people. and naturally, I had to learn that all the different standards that they have were... like if you're Quentin Tarantino or Steven Spielberg, then studios already know that you already have a vested interest. People have a vested interest in those artists, and they're going to make money regardless. Even if it's not a good film, they'll see it because Steven Spielberg's name is on it. But when you're LaRon Chapman and you're not known, then they have these, I guess they call them spec scripts, where you write something, and it has to meet all of the criteria, or people won't even read it for different festival entries and what have you. And so I learned, it's changed over time, but like scripts in particular like have to be, used to be 120 pages, which equates to like a 2-hour movie. But as time has gone on, they have shrank that to 90 pages, which is, you know, equates to an hour and a half. And when you have a 200-page script that now somehow has to be the same story and be, you know, 100 pages shorter.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's a process. And so I think I became a better writer as a result because I found out very quickly what was important, what was not, what needed to go from the story, what could go without salvaging, like, the essence of it. And so the whole thing, the whole process, like, I mean, it's been very, teachable because I wound up basically from the grassroots learning every aspect of filmmaking for my first project. Because it was an indie film, I had to wear many hats. I was the producer, I was the location scout, I make a cameo in the movie because one of my extras didn't show up. And so, I mean, you just kind of, again, get in where you fit in. When it's yours, you're willing to work really hard for it. So, I mean, from the very beginning, finding the right spaces to shoot, finding the producers that knew more about the logistical things, the paperwork and stuff that I still don't know anything about. Just knowing those people is good. And then casting, learning like what fits best. You know, you get to a point, I think we had 100 auditions, which kind of blew my mind for my first film. Because I was like, that many people know who I am? You know, so, and they all came out to work on my movie, you know, like, and they're professional actors, you know, so, that was definitely very surprising and obviously really appreciative. But I wound up finding like at least 5 good people for every role, and it's an ensemble piece of the film, so there was at least 12 major roles to fill, and all the rest were kind of extras, or it might have one line or so, but 12 principal actors that have, you know, significant screen time. And so having that many people interested in the project made it really difficult to whittle down, especially when they were all, most of them were really good.
Oh, wow.
And so you do, it's a weird process because you kind of get to like where you have 5 really good people that any could go any direction for this person. And sometimes it comes down to something. Now I see now how cutthroat it is for actors. I don't think I'd ever want to be an actor, but never say never. And I noticed that it comes down to really petty, minute details where it's like we have 5 blonde girls for this role, and we have 1 brunette. Let's just go with the odd man out. And it's not that any of them are less talented. It's just that you have to pick somebody at the end. And then if they ask me, I'm always like, you know, how do I explain to them, you know, that you just weren't brown. You didn't have brown hair this time. And we needed someone with brown hair, you know. So, I don't, but there's just a lot of things like that. Just learning every step of the way, I learned how difficult it is in post-production whenever you're... the film has been shot, everything's in the can, and except now we have to weave together thousands of hours of footage, find the right takes. Again, just like with writing, they always say there's the movie that you write, the movie that you shoot, and then the movie that you edit. And they're all very different movies.
Wow.
So it goes through 3 different phases, and you keep the essence of the story alive, but it changes so many forms, and it has to, honestly, because the visual medium is different than the written, so it just, people's attention spans aren't as, you know, you can read a long, beautifully written chapter, but you don't want to spend 3 hours listening to somebody talk, you know,
yeah.
You know what I mean, in an eloquent way, you know, it's like, okay, let's get to the point, you know, so what is this, where are we going with this, so I had to learn that process of killing your darlings, where you, you have the entire film edited the way that it was shot and the way it was written in the script, and then you realize it's 2.5 hours long, and the movie has to be 1.5 hours long. So just like when I had whittled my script down, I now have to whittle all of the visual images down to what I need and don't need. And so there were moments that I sad that are gone, but also in hindsight, seeing the finished product and seeing how much better paced it is, how much more entertaining it is, you know, you realize you didn't need those scenes. You're just attached to them because you created them. They're from my mind. So, and that's just one of those phases of learning as well. So, and now I'm still learning, but still learning the process of like getting distribution. Now that I've made this thing, now I have to sell this thing and find the person that even wants it. You know, so it's something you definitely have to love to do because it doesn't always promise. Monetary gain, and sometimes it's just, you know, you do it because I feel like this first film is my, you know, just showing people I have a voice, I have something to say, and that hopefully, you know, that it will inspire people to do the things that they love to do as well. But now the process of like, how do I make a living off of this? Is that process that we're still working. All you need is one break and one person to say, I love your film, I want to distribute it with our studio, and then, you know, and then all of that kind of comes to fruition. But it doesn't necessarily happen on the first film. It doesn't necessarily happen on the second film. Some people get lucky one way or the other, but right now I think I'm just kind of honing in on my craft as a filmmaker. So I had to step into the director's chair. I, again, originally wasn't going to direct this film. I was intimidated by that because I'd never done it before. And then I would, to do it on such a big scale, it felt very like, well, what if I mess this up? And I realized I'm the only person that is going to be disappointed because it's my own project. So I wasn't answering to anybody. So it took a little pressure off because obviously I wanted to make a good film, but I knew that it wasn't somebody else's work that I was destroying if it wound up not working out. You know, so but I also, because it was such a personal story, and all the characters, and particularly the main character in the story, all of them are, I dramatized a lot of like pivotal moments in my own life and kind of just kind of built a narrative around it. I didn't want someone else taking something that was very pure to me and turning it into their own idea of something else. And so I had to talk myself into it. And then, honestly, directing wound up being the easiest part of the entire process.
Interesting.
Because I'm not the cameraman. I'm not a DP, but a director of photography. But I am, you're literally the person on stage, I mean on set, telling everyone what to do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I'm not a bossy person. But my job is literally just communicating what I want, and then everybody else does it for me. So it's really not a hard job. It just feels like it. I mean, you have an important job because what you say is ultimately going to be, you know, visually what winds up on camera. But the process itself is not difficult. You know, you show up and an actor tells you, "Did you like that take?" And you say, "Well, I think you could be a little more this or that," you know, or "That was perfect, let's move on." Or if they have a question about, you know, what were you trying to convey in this moment? Am I supposed to be heartbroken? Am I supposed to be happy? You know, and so just being present and open to and fielding those kind of questions on set is what directing is. You tell people what your vision is, and then it's their jobs in their own fields to execute that and make it, you know, as close to how I'm articulating it as possible. So it's been quite a ride the last 3 years. So,
and I did want to say congratulations on winning the award at Dead Center.
Absolutely, that took me by storm because I mean I knew it was I was just lucky to be in a festival that gets thousands of entries every year, and then they singled mine out as being one that. That was worthy of being amongst all those other filmmakers who had been doing movies much longer than me. So to take home with a prize that some people spend a long time, you know, striving to get, was really, again, really validating as an artist to say that, you know, that what I did and the work that we put in and the message I was trying to get across really did resonate and it stuck with people. And so I was very humbled by that. And I think that it also gave me motivation to keep doing it because it worked out.
I was curious too, as far as any of the more interesting comments or questions that you got from people who saw the movie, or
in general, I got a lot of thank yous for being very vulnerable with really personal, you know, insecurities and different things like that. There's, I mean, again, it deals with. Racial profiling, police brutality, I mean, it racism in general. I mean, that's something that happens. One of the characters kind of puts him in the main character in an uncomfortable situation. And just kind of opening people's eyes to the little nuances that different minority groups deal with on a regular basis that kind of sometimes get unnoticed, or shedding a light on that. A lot of people would expose or exchange a story with me about something that happened to them similarly, you know, so that was really good to hear. And I was surprised by so many of the, like, and sometimes it wasn't even just the core storyline. Sometimes it would be something small that I wouldn't even think would resonate. I had one person come to me, and there's a relationship in the film with two of the supporting characters that is one person. It's a toxic relationship that's on its way out, but there's love there. They both care about each other, but they but it's in a place of toxic level that where it's time to move on, but they both aren't ready to do it. Ultimately, they do. I had a person tell me that she had been married to her husband for 20 years and that they were in that same space, and there was a line in my film that resonated with her, and she said that she was going to file for a divorce. And I said, I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. It seemed she took it as a good thing. She told me, you know, that thank you for encouraging me to do that. Because I needed to hear this. The line itself was, I need to take care of myself now. I love you, but I need to take care of myself now. And so she said that stuck with her. And so she said that that's what she was going to do. She's going to start taking care of herself and stop living in that place of unhappiness. So I was like, well, you never know how you're going to inspire somebody. So there's just little things like that. A lot of people just called it very brave. And I just told people, well, you know, I was just telling my story, you know, and so, but if you got something from it, then that means the world to me, so.
It's very, very powerful, yeah, to hear that this reaches people. And I wonder sometimes, too, just the medium of film, you know, you write a story, and then, you know, people see it on the screen, and I wonder sometimes if there's never any way to know how that will reach people in different ways.
You don't really, and it's always a gamble. You're always putting yourself at risk. And I think that's why artists are so insecure. Because you are exposing yourself. I mean, I always say artists is a means of a form of expression. So you're exposing a part of yourself that may be subconscious sometimes too. Because you create something, and then once it's finished, you kind of realize what it was you had to say. And sometimes there's truth in the fiction, if that makes sense. You might be telling a fictional story, but there's like an emotional truth to it that rings true to something that either you've experienced or something that you needed clarity on. Or maybe you were upset about something you didn't realize, and maybe this character or this incident represents that moment in your life. And so you're putting yourself out there. And so, like, obviously, once people watch it for the first time, you have that panic attack. It's like, are they going to get it? Are they going to understand it? Are they going to like it? And if they don't, what does that say about me? What does it say about me? You know, all the questions that you ask. And so to get all of that positive reception for this was really, I mean, it was big. It was a big deal for me. And I always tell people, you know, like, I can't take full credit for it. I mean, I'm the inspiration behind it. I'm the story behind it. But all the people, the 100-plus crew that we had, of people who either volunteered their time or, you know, helped me out with the camera or the sound design on the film, the actors, the art direction, everything, all of those people contributed to it, you know, to make that vision true to what I wanted. And I can't take credit for it because they all are experts in their own fields. And I'm literally just the messenger in between all of the different departments, making sure everybody's on the same page and that we're all unified and trying to do, you know, the best quality work that we can. So.
Yeah, it's very moving because I'm sitting here thinking about this is a story that comes from within you. This is something that, you know, you clearly were moved to write the screenplay. And then when I think about, I don't know, is the word deconstruct, would that be the right word? In other words, you wrote this. And then it had to be shorter, so you had to kind of deconstruct there. I'm still not sure if that's the right word to use.
Well, having to whittle it down to, like, basically tell the same story.
Yeah.
And I had to get to the point of what it was I was trying to say. And sometimes I had to find a clever or more succinct way of saying that. So it was like, at the end of this, what was the message I wanted to get across? Is it still getting across if we cut this scene? And then that's how I kind of weigh the options. And sometimes cutting a scene just meant like getting rid of something that might have been entertaining but not essential to the bigger story. So at the end of it, you have to make sure, like, is this advancing the story, or is this something that creates a lull or creates a you know, dead air or anything that's kind of like, it might be entertaining on its own, but watching it from beginning to end is important because you got to see how you're feeling every moment. And it's like, am I taken out of it? Am I bored? Am I engaged? You know, is this having the impact that we want? So it's a process. And I mean, this film had maybe four or five edits. Two of them done by the same person, and then the other two done by another person. So they took the draft that this person did and basically, you know, infused their own little stylistic influences. And then found kind of a healthy medium between the two edits that worked for everyone involved. And so in the end, we wound up having a 95-minute movie, so a little over an hour and a half. And I feel like every time I watch it now, it zips right along. And I just, now I imagine every phase of the process of how we got to this point, to seeing it in a theater with the sound system, with an audience, and 3 years prior, I was just a cashier at the airport who, you know, had an idea in my head and kind of brought that to life. So
yeah. It's really moving to think about this whole process. I love how you were talking about all the, you know, the jobs that you took, you know, in this, doing this kind of work previously, and all the people that you met and the network that you create. And it just, I get this sense that this is this, you know, all of this is part of this film.
It was a communal effort. And that's why I say, you know, whenever I won the award, you know, I was like, I'm thankful for this, but I also have to thank everyone that worked on it, because it was a community effort. And also it was a showcase of Oklahoma's talent, you know, and all the different departments of the film industry here. And a lot of people come here, have worked on productions that come from New York or L.A. or New Orleans, some of the bigger, you know, the bigger states for film. And they say every time they're here that there's something about the Oklahoma film community. It's like an untapped, you know, uncharted, you know, sort of, because everyone here is very, we're so connected, and we're friends. I mean, a lot of them, you know, like, we all want to, you know, see the other person succeed. And we're all helpful in that sense, you know. Like, and they say that you just don't get that in New York or L.A. or New York. I mean, because they're like, it's very cutthroat. Everybody's trying to undercut the other person to get ahead. And then here, everybody's trying to prop everybody up so that we all kind of have better jobs and better opportunities and what have you. And it's an interesting dynamic. And I think that's part of what it means, you know, to see our film community growing. But they come here and they say it's so pleasant. Everyone gets along. Everybody doesn't hate each other. You know what I mean? And so it's important when you're on a set, because I always say anytime I'm on a movie shoot, especially because they'll last for anywhere between 3 weeks to a month. I think August Osage County was 2 months because it's a bigger production. But you're there with the same people every day at the butt crack of dawn till the, you know, the wee hours of the night.
Wow.
I mean, it's like you spend more time. I always tell people I've spent more time with some of the people on film sets than I have with some of my very best friends of many years. Because, you know, you see your friend, but you don't see him every day. Might see your friend once or twice a week, maybe. And it might just be for 3 or 4 hours for lunch or dinner or a movie or something like that. But when you spend 16 hours a day with somebody every day for 2 months.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, the quantity of time that's been spent with those people, those humans in the same space rubbing shoulders, is a lot. It's like being in summer camp or Boy Scouts or the military or something like that. And because the hours are strenuous and arduous, and it's not, again, it's hard labor work, it does. You build that camaraderie and you have closeness to them that you don't have with certain people just based on, you know, your proximity for that length of time. So, a lot of that kind of feeds into it, you know, how everyone kind of came together to work on this project. And I kind of think about it, and I'm like, there were so many hands that this project was touched by in some capacity. And so, and I'm thankful for all of it, because in the end, we wound up making an award-winning film. That's what it was all about. And I think it's kind of a real underdog triumph story that I didn't even know I was a part of.
That's beautiful. And I guess I would ask you too, looking back on this entire process, or maybe even going back further, if I could ask, you know, how you feel like you've evolved or how this has changed you in any way that you would want to speak about.
I feel like I had more access to my potential. I feel like before, what I was really insecure about things. I didn't think that, I never thought this would happen, to be honest. I mean, it was something I was definitely going to strive to do. Didn't think it was going to happen in nearly the time. Even 3 years seems like a long time, but I thought it was going to be a long haul process of, like, you know, this will be my Citizen Kane or whatever, you know, so where it's like, if it happens, it'll happen one step at a time. And it did happen in that way, but I learned that I had spent so much time absorbing so much knowledge from all these different people, and I, in many ways, had taken it for granted. I remember saying, you know, like, this is not a glamorous job. It's like, why do people do this? And I remember that I love movies, but was it fun actually working on them, you know? And I realized, because you're working on somebody else's project, it's a different dynamic. When it's yours, you know what I mean? It is fun. It's fun because, you know, you're watching it come to life. You're watching it kind of. And so I think what I've learned that I'm capable of more than I realize. And that if I am really passionate about it, driven about it, then, I mean, it can be done. It really can be done. You just have to put in the time. It takes discipline. And I can see why many people would bow out pretty early, because it is a difficult undertaking. It takes a lot out of you. It takes a lot of, again, a lot of time, a lot of energy, sleep, you know, everything. I don't know how many meals I skipped just because I had to do something else. But it was worth it. It was worth it in the end, because I have something that is kind of uniquely mine.
Yeah.
And has my name on it. And even if that's the only thing that ever comes from it, I feel really accomplished just having done that. So.
That is really, really inspiring. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time. This is, I feel like I've learned so much just about the process, what you went through, and the process of actually writing a screenplay, and kind of understanding a little bit more about kind of going behind the scenes and understanding that. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's been very, very enjoyable.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly.